So we've been jumping around Philippians a little bit. I started in chapter 1, which would be a logical place to start. And then Reverend Lee preached the second week. She was originally going to preach week 4, so we've jumped to chapter 4. And now this week we're in chapter 3, and we'll end in chapter 2. Got that? Okay, but we're making our way all through Philippians. How many of you, by the way, have read your way through Philippians? Anybody? It's only 4 chapters. You still have a week to do it, okay? And let us know that you have. Just text us to let us know that you've done that. So in the 3rd chapter of Philippians, Paul shifts over to some athletic imagery. And this has always been a favorite part of this letter for me. And I want to give you some scenes to sort of set us up for the scripture. This was Kinder Park just a few weeks ago for the high school county cross-country championships that were taking place. So Severna Park was competing. I see a Severna Park alumni runner back there, Jack. And as always, Severna Park did well. I think for the boys, at least, Garrison Clark won the county championship. And on the girls' side, Severna Park did very well, as usual. But I want to talk about a non-Severna Park runner who's like a favorite daughter of our church just the same. And that's this young woman with the SRHS. She is a runner for South River High School on the right in the front of the pack there, straining forward. And that is Bronwyn Patterson, Nicola's daughter. She's a sophomore, and she's a phenomenal athlete. On this particular day, Bronwyn finished 2nd in the county championships in Kinder Park, which is great. It's really exciting. And then she went on in the regionals to finish in 3rd place. But my mind's eye always pictures this part of Scripture as straining forward like a runner. And I think Paul is thinking the same thing. I press on for the goal. It's just like a runner presses on for the goal. Let's take a look at those words from that 3rd chapter. Not that I've already obtained this or have already reached the goal. Paul was talking about this fact that that our citizenship comes from God, that we are claimed for this resurrection life in Jesus. But I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do. Will you read these two lines with me? Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. I want to really focus on those lines today. Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Forgetting what is behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. Now, I want to bring us back to Bronwyn for a second. Bronwyn, like I said, went on to finish 3rd. I think this is from the regional meet. And then yesterday, just because she knew I'd be preaching about it in my sermon, she finished 1st at the state championship. I don't think it's because she knew I'd be preaching about her. But isn't that cool? So she had the opportunity, right? She finished 2nd in counties, 3rd in regionals, and she had the opportunity to say, I'm not going to win, right? That's where I'm going to fall in the pack. I mean, that's really exciting. That's really good. But these girls just keep beating me. But Bronwyn, I know Bronwyn, she's got this incredible spirit about her. And I read in the paper today that she, over the last 1,000 meters, she just sprinted that last 1,000 meters. And she was in 6th place, and she moved to 1st place. And she won the state championship. Next time you see Bronwyn, congratulate her. That's pretty exciting stuff. That image has stayed with me always when I think about Philippians. But this new image has come to me of late as well. I've heard this phrase a couple of times in my reading, on a blog I was listening to, in a book that I came across. And it seems like the perfect way to think about Philippians 3. You can look at life through the windshield, or you can look at it through the rearview mirror. And in Paul's case, he's encouraging the Philippian church to look at it through the windshield. What is ahead of you? What's the goal that we are straining for? And not just the rearview mirror. Now, rearview mirrors are not necessarily bad things, right? They are necessary and useful. Would you agree? Right? I remember being taught as a student driver, a 16-year-old, that I was taught the Smith system of driving. I don't know if you ever saw that movie, any of you in your driver's ed, but you know, you keep your eyes moving, you get the big picture, and it was always about looking what's ahead of you, looking at what's behind you, looking at what's on the side, you keep your eyes moving. And so rearview mirrors are very valuable when we are driving, especially like when we're driving up 97, right, or the Beltway. That's really valuable to have that. It would have been really valuable for me to have looked in my rearview mirror a little more closely on Monday when I was at Johns Hopkins Hospital visiting some folks, and I was in my son-in-law's car, which is not my normal car, so I didn't have the same sight lines, and as I was looking and backing into the space early in the morning, I heard a little scratch. catch. Don't you hate that? I wish I had looked in that rearview mirror a little more. It was not bad, don't worry. I was able to buff it out. I think he's fine. But he knows about it. I confessed after. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't one of those bad ones, right? You've had those bad ones, the $2,000 ones that from just, it was not that. But they're necessary and they're useful. They have their place. And not only in cars that they have their place, but they have their place in our lives. Looking back is not always a bad thing. Looking back gives us a sense of where we've come from, a sense of accomplishment, a sense of our rootedness in a family or a community. We do that as a nation, and we do that in the church. Today is Veterans Day, as Byron was saying. And so we look back and we mark these sacred, significant moments in our lives. It's important to be able to look back. But here's the danger. Rearview mirrors can be traps, too. They can be a trap. And let me suggest at least three ways I think they can trap us. We can get complacent. If we are always busy looking in the rearview mirror, thinking about all the stuff that we've done, we can come at this false sense of thinking we've arrived, right? We've already gotten there. We don't have to do anything more. I hear people once in a while tell me this in the church, only once in a while, not in this church ever, but let's say other churches, that, well, I've served the church for a long time, right? I used to do that when I was younger, but now I'm coasting a little. They don't say I'm coasting, but they say it's time for other people to do that. And that's true. Sometimes it is time to just pass on the torch to somebody else. I'm not saying that you should always drive yourself to exhaustion in your later years. But sometimes we can just get complacent. We think that we've arrived. We've done it. We've done everything, right? And Paul had that sense of not wanting to get complacent or resting on his laurels, so to speak. He said, if anyone had reason to boast about their past, you know, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I had all the credentials. I could have been just complacent with who I was. But he came to know God in a new way through Jesus Christ. And that was through the way of love and through the way of acceptance that had nothing to do with his credentials and everything to do with the love of God. And so he wasn't going to be complacent by looking in the rearview mirror. We can get stuck if we look too much in the rearview mirror. We get stuck in a certain phase of our lives, right? A certain incident, a certain trauma, a certain time when we were hurt or we were in the middle of something that was very painful. As a pastor for the last 30 plus years, I can't tell you how many times I've sat with people who are stuck. I might be sitting with them now, but I feel like they are still stuck 10 years ago in their lives or 15 years ago in their lives. There's a woman from a previous church who had gone through a really painful divorce, and I don't want to minimize that. It was hard. It was not what she expected or what she wanted. It was not the life path that she saw for herself. But years later, 1 year later, 2 years later, 5 years later, 7 years later, 10 years later, it was the only thing she would ever talk about with me. Like, she had stopped. She hadn't gone back to work. Her life had just, like, been put on hold. And she hadn't found a way to heal through that because, friends, we will suffer deep disappointments and deep pain in our lives, but God always offers us a way forward, a windshield as well. And the problem with always looking at the rearview mirror is that we can get stuck in that past when God is drawing us, wooing us, hoping that we'll move forward into God's future. And here's the worst of them. If we're so busy looking in the rearview mirror, some of us get stuck because of something we did. Now, in her case, she got stuck because she felt like something somebody had done to her. Some of us get stuck because we feel like we've made the worst possible decision. We have harmed a relationship. We have failed God or failed other people. And so we get stuck believing that we are less than. That we ourselves are failures. That we forget that we're children of God. And that's a terrible place to get stuck. A couple weeks ago when I was preaching in our Do Love Walk series, you may remember this quote. I just grabbed it to bring it back to your memory. Brian Stevenson, the author of Just Mercy, I was telling you about him. He says, all of us, each of us, is more than the worst thing we've ever done. Thanks be to God. That we have a God of redemption, a God of second chances and seventh chances and tenth chances, right? A God who always offers forgiveness and new life. A God who offers that, but we have to claim it, and we have to live into it, and we have to trust it. Each of us is more than the worst thing we've ever done. We are all still children of God. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. That's Paul's admonition. That's Paul's encouragement to the Philippians. That's Paul's call to all of us today, to be looking not through the rearview mirror, but to be looking through the windshield. We need, basically, when it comes down to it, we need an attitude adjustment, right? This is a choice that we can make, and we can choose the orientation of our lives. We can choose to look this way, and we can always be looking over our shoulders. Now, this is in Paul's third chapter. This is also great Wesleyan theology. Methodists talk about at least three ways of talking about God's grace, right? We talk about God's prevenient grace, which is God wooing us, God calling us, even before we turn toward God. God is always reaching out to us. It's always God's initiative. That's prevenient grace. God calling our name, and then one day hoping that we will hear. God's justifying grace is when we claim that gift for ourselves, when we claim new life in Christ, when we commit our hearts to follow Jesus. And it's all because of grace, when we realize that the credentials don't matter, like Paul does here in the third chapter. It's not about my credentials, it's about Christ loving me no matter what. That's justifying grace. But for Methodists, there's a third kind of grace, and it's called sanctifying grace. And that's the kind of grace that continues its work in our hearts, in our lives, so that we become more in love with God and more in love with our neighbor. Wesley talked about moving on to perfection, but he didn't mean that we were going to be perfect. He meant that we're going to be mature. Think of it that way. The moving on toward perfection is this maturity in Christ that we all of us are called to, a deepening of faith so that we grow in love and compassion and mercy and patience and kindness and justice. And you notice I put a comma there? Not a period? Because you could fill in several others, right? Of the ways that God needs to help you grow in your life as you move on to perfection, as you mature. Matter of fact, in this passage in Philippians, there's a little play on this word. There are a couple words that have the same Greek root. I press on to the goal, the teleos, and the maturity is the same root, teleos, the end, the maturity, the maturing. They're all related. Paul is talking about moving on to greater maturity in Christ. So let me refresh. So windshield living is all about pressing on in grace, not based on our credentials, but propelled forward by our commitment. The Holy Spirit, God wants us to work with God's Spirit, not just to sit there waiting for stuff to happen. We are called to cooperate with God's Spirit. That's what sanctifying grace is about. It requires our commitment to move forward. It takes an attitude adjustment. Whoops, I didn't mean to click through that last one. Oh, there we go. Now, how many of you got a letter in the mail for me this week? Some of you might have gotten a letter. Maybe. How many of you just threw it out as soon as you got it? No, don't tell me that. Even if you did that, don't tell me that you did that. Because, you know, it's always dangerous when it's stewardship time and you get a letter in the mail from the church in the fall and you say, oh my gosh, here it comes again. But in my letter, I suggested that we need an attitude adjustment, not just as individuals, but also as a community of faith. We need to be thinking about where our orientation is. And we need an attitude adjustment about the way we think about our wealth and our resources if we're going to live fully into God's grace. Some of the ways I suggested we might adjust our attitude, or pray that God would adjust our attitude, is to move from fear to trust, from endpoint thinking, that means like the buck stops here, literally, to pass-through mentality. How do I use my resources for other people? Closed hands to open hands, being blessed. We all want to be blessed, right? We pray for God's blessing all the time. But don't stop your prayer there. We are always called in faith to be blessed, to be a blessing to someone else. And this mine ours stuff, is this really God's stuff? Now, we also put in your bulletin today a picture of how we've been using the resources that you entrust to this church. This is for 2018. For next year, we are trying to be bolder. I know that the music ministry has some dreams. I know that our ministry with our children and our youth have some dreams. And I know that we are trying to expand our missions budget. And their request is higher because we want to do even more to reach out in our community, in our world. So there's some exciting things on the horizon, but it won't happen if we are complacent with where we've been and we're not willing to lean forward and look forward to where God is calling us to do. So next Sunday, we're calling and inviting every single one of you to bring a pledge commitment so that you will be part of this ministry, not just in 2018, but in the next year as well. And the next year, the seeds that we keep planting for God's kingdom in this place. I don't know how many of you saw this story in the Capital Gazette this week, but I loved it when I saw it. I thought that God was sending me a gift for my sermon this day. The title of the article is Landlords Show Faith Through Gift. And it's about two landlords, a husband and wife, out in Seattle. And they run in a small apartment complex, nothing giant. They're not millionaires or anything like that. This has been a family business for 50 years in the family. They're also dedicated Christians, Pentecostal Christians. And they knew from their reading of the Bible that there was this thing in the Bible called the Jubilee Year, when all debts would be forgiven. Now, they knew they were not in a place to do that exactly. But when it came time to celebrate their 50th anniversary as a company in the landlord business, in the renting of apartments, they decided they wanted, rather than have a big gala, a big party or something like that, they wanted to do something directly for the people who were renting from them. So they went around door by door, and they slipped underneath the door a note. Now, when you get a note from your landlord, it's not always a good thing. In this case, it was a very good thing. They said, because of our commitment and because of the Jubilee year, we want you to know that your month of November is paid for. All of their tenants. And it costs them a lot of money. Again, from reading the article, I don't get the sense that they are just rolling in money. But they saved money so they could do this, because they wanted to celebrate their 50th anniversary in a meaningful way. And I loved especially what Corey Slaughtog, who's the husband, said. He says he has a different philosophy about money than your standard capitalist. He said he views money and all other possessions as being borrowed from God for his use while he's alive. I'm not taking anything with me, he said. I'm not taking anything with me. Pass-through mentality, right? He's made that attitude adjustment from thinking it stops with him to it's a blessing to be shared with someone else. So here's my question for you as an individual and for all of us as a community today, as a church. Are you looking through the windshield, or are you too busy looking through the rearview mirror? Which one is it going to be for you? If you listen to the Apostle Paul, I hope you'll choose the windshield. And I hope we'll hear the encouraging words and the spirit-filled words of Paul this day. To press on. To press on, because we have not yet arrived. God still has so much left for us to do. Thanks be to God. Amen.